We're supposed to talk about joy this weekend, is why we wear this color. It makes everybody happy to see us wearing rose, and it's a very, obviously, it's an inspiring color, I guess. So twice a year, the third Sunday of Advent, fourth Sunday of Lent, and it's dissuaded a lot of guys from becoming priests over the years. But anyway, the best definition I've ever heard of joy is the infallible sign of God's presence. It's different than just being happy or kind of content, but something that's much deeper. And if we had to listen to the readings, I mean, it's almost an imperative that St. Paul says, rejoice. And then, of course, there's a song about the Blessed Mother, be joyful, Mary, or else. I don't know. I mean, it's a, how do you attain that? How do we achieve that? That's a goal of the Christian life, is to let that love of God to so permeate us that it invites others. It becomes a magnet. It attracts people to the faith. What's it look like? I don't know. When I was a high school chaplain, sometimes you had to chaperone dances, and I remember there was one song that the kids would go crazy. It's called Sandstorm, and even today, if you listen to watch football games, South Carolina, anytime something goes well, they play that song, and it's something primordial, something, I don't know, it's like hysteria takes over the crowd. I don't know if that's joy, but it is entertaining. I wrote down a couple other examples. This is back in 2006. This kid was a basketball manager, Jason McElwain, somewhere near Rochester, New York, and he was always the manager because he was autistic, so he never really got to play, but the last game of the season, his senior year, they put him in, and he puts up a shot, and he misses it by 5 feet. The next shot he puts up goes straight in. It's a three-pointer, and then he makes five more. He ties the team record. He gets six of them. Watching the crowd, look up that video sometime, because that's joy. The whole crowd, it didn't matter which team, they were all so happy for this kid who got his chance, and he really got to shine. Something about joy that comes, at maybe one last image. I always help with Capstone. That's the senior project up at Newman, where these kids give a long presentation in front of their peers and teachers. And watching these kids when they finish, and I always get to see the best ones, it seems like. But when the kids finish, there's like, well, maybe it's not joy. Maybe it's just satisfaction. It's relief. It's over. But there's something about accomplishment. When you put your mind to something, you work at it, and that's the way God designed us, that work is a medicine. It's perfective of our character. When we do it well, there's a joy that comes. If we're to make a contribution, that's the way God designed us. There are things that kill joy and dampen it. Sin would be one of them. It's always the thing that leads us astray, and it's the thing that, well, especially if it's unrepentant sin. You remember Pope John Paul, when he was shot, after he recovered, he went to the prison cell of this guy, Aliaga is his name, and he forgave him. But the guy never said sorry. This was always weighed on Pope John Paul. Was never released to the public until after the Pope died, but he forgave the man who never expressed any contrition. Have you ever had that experience when you take your part, you take responsibility for what you've done, but the other person doesn't really reciprocate? And so there's not a full reconciliation. Unrepentant sin is a bad thing for us. But what about unforgiven sin? What if we worry that, did God forgive me? That's why the confessional is a source of healing and hope. When we hear the words, I absolve you from your sins, they don't exist anymore. They're gone forever. God forgives and forgets, and it's such a gift that he offers us. I hope that we'll receive that gift in the spirit that it's given. Those are things that can damage our joy. Sin, struggle with temptation, all these things that are part of being human. We're fallen, but in Christ we're redeemed. Another thing that kills joy is intemperance. This time of the year, it's hard to be careful about everything in moderation. You know, there are a lot of things that you go into the house and there's all kinds of sweets and so forth, just to have a little bit, but not all of it. If I sit down and eat the whole thing of whatever, I'm like, ugh. And then we have body images, issues, and those things affect our self-worth. So moderation in all things, especially during the holiday time, it can affect our joy. We get so attached to material things, physical things, it kind of squelches the spiritual life. Now, things that feed our joy and make joy possible. The first, I was saying last night, music. I got to go to a concert at First Presbyterian Church Friday night. A group of female singers called Pro Musica and another group called Wausau Lyric Choir. It was fantastic to listen to Christmas music. The greatest instrument that God ever gave us is our voice. And to hear it when it's synchronized, harmonized in ways that inspire. It reminded me when I was a long way from home in 1996, I was homesick, it was Christmas, and we were in Syria, a city called Aleppo. And we went to a Christmas concert, and it made me feel, well, that I was closer to home, closer to my mom and dad. All those hymns that we sang as kids growing up, music is a powerful thing. It's a source of beauty, and it brings us together. And so get to a Christmas concert. Let that music lift your spirits. Last night I was at a sing-along, so I'm a little hoarse this morning, but it's good for us to sing and to listen. Monday night here at the church, we'll have our little classical school concert. It's going to be beautiful. These kids love to sing, and they're very good at it, and they do it with gusto. Come tomorrow night. It's free admittance, so come on in. Another thing that's a source of joy, check the old note card here. Oh, being invited to things, which is doesn't happen often enough for some of us, I think. But the reason I went to the concert, somebody invited me. The reason I went to this house last night, somebody invited me. I remember when I was in high school, there was a math teacher named Mrs. Robinson, not the one from the song. But anyway, she, when I was a freshman, you could tell that she thought nobody liked her. She thought that students always talked about her and so forth. But I remember that year, the seniors would always go on a trip, and they asked her to be the chaperone. That changed her. She was never the same person after that. She felt loved and wanted, and she always, it just was so good for her self-worth to be invited. I hope that we do that. I mean, that's why people come to Mass, invite people, come to Holy Name. It's free admittance anyway. And, to invite people to come to Mass or to confession or the things that we're doing, to be invited is to be wanted. You're invited to come downstairs after Mass or coffee and donuts and to meet other people, to invite people. Of course, then to be invited means sometimes we have to say yes. We can become reclusive. We can say, oh, I don't want to go out. I don't want to see people. But it's a really good thing for us when we do. That's how we grow. That's how that joy is communicated and spread, and it's magnified by the community that God forms. The last source of joy is, if you ever watch a Notre Dame game, you have to watch it in the stadium. In the second half on the Jumbotron, they always put the Mass times, which is very edifying. And they show this priest, Father Pete McCormick. And as soon as his face comes on the Jumbotron, the student section goes crazy. They start cheering and, it's like the energy level just increases tenfold. Of course, which is threatening to me. I'm like, I wish they would do that for me once in a while. But then I just saw this interview about this guy, and now I know why the students love him, because he loves them. He serves them. He gives his whole heart. He goes around campus with a smile and enthusiasm. He just pours his life out for these people, which looks like a lot of hard work, and I'm not doing that. But anyway, but he learned the law of the gift. The more you give, the more you receive. And he says it very eloquently in the interview that these kids have done more for me. They've changed my priesthood. It's my honor and joy to give something back. This is the way God made us. The more we give, the more we receive. The more we serve, the more we see the good in others, the more we pray, joy is an infallible sign of God's presence. This guy, Father Pete, I hope I get a chance to meet him someday. Anyway, he said at the end when he was little, once in a while, Grandma would come to visit. Oh, they would get excited because Grandma didn't get to come all that often. They'd clean the house and prepare and decorate. They were always excited when Grandma came. That's right. That's the right sentiment. I hope we feel that when other people come. I hope especially when Christ comes. We get excited. We can't wait. We make everything right. We open our hearts. We let him forgive our sins. We make space because he's coming, our King, our Messiah, our Lord and God.